All right. Let's see if we can jump in here. I'm going to give you some scriptures today. John chapter 17. I always give you lots of scriptures, but to start off, let's just go right to the scriptures here. John 17 and verse 3. Jesus is talking here, and he says, "This is life eternal." Verse 3. Chapter 17, verse 3. Mr. Dylan. There we go. "This is life eternal," which is in the Greek is Zoe life, the life of God. That life with the exclamation point, life. You have this quality of life. You could call it abundant life. So this is not just talking about living after you die in heaven. This is talking about right now. Did you know in 1 John 5:12 it says, "He that has the Son of God has life. He that does not have the Son of God does not have life." 1 John 5:12. You can go back though. Go back to John 17, 3. Gotta have quick fingers back there. Okay, so Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." This is life. You know, some people say life is a beach. Some people say life is this and that. Jesus said, "This is life, to know God the Father and Jesus Christ, the one he sent." This is where you have real life. It's not, he didn't say going to church was life. He didn't say going, you know, doing religious things was life. He said knowing God, knowing him. I feel like the Lord wanted me to interrupt the series I was doing on the problem areas that we have in receiving healing. Some of the major things that people struggle with. We'll pick it up next week. But the Holy Ghost wanted us to talk about this tonight, that God is out for a relationship. It's not all about everything you do or don't do. It's a matter of relationship. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Okay, so there's something about relationship that will set you free. And I am believing God tonight that you will get this and there will be a liberation in you. I feel like the Lord has done that with me in the last few days, maybe the last couple weeks. He's reminded me of the relationship I have with him. And I feel so free. I had been under the stress and the burden of doing a lot of things. And I feel like he has reminded me it's just knowing him. It's a relationship. And he's, you know, I'm expecting that you'll get set free here too. So this is life eternal, knowing God the Father, knowing God the Son, knowing God the Holy Spirit too. In 1 John chapter 1, and let's see, verse 3. "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ." Fellowship, that's that communing fellowship, two fellows in the same ship, right? partnership or sharing together. There's a connection and a communing together, heart to heart. And verse 7 says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." So we get the fellowship with the Lord. That's the whole reason that we're created. We're not just created to do the Great Commission. I think it's in Mark chapter 3, verse 14, when Jesus was calling his disciples, the 12 disciples, it says that he called them that they would be with him and that he would send them out to preach. Did you find that, Dylan? Mark 3, 14. He ordained them that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. Isn't that exciting? God has called us to be with him in that relationship, that fellowship, that family that we are with him. And, of course, because we're part of the family, we go out and we preach and we share the good news with others and set them free. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 and 3, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Let's see, 2 Peter 1, 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You see this several times here. The knowledge of God. Knowledge of God is not knowledge about God. If I were to say, I know things about Dan, that's not the same as saying, I know Dan, right? You say I know something about someone, you know some facts, you know a few things about their character. But if you say, I know them, that says a lot more, right? Yeah. It says, I know them more up to date. I know them like, for example, there was a lady that I used to work with years ago, and I would help her out once a week. I would help her with some things, and she found out when my birthday was, and she found out that year that I liked Tootsie Roll Pops, lollipops with a Tootsie Roll in the middle, you know? And so after I stopped working with her, every time that my birthday would come around, I would find a package of Tootsie Roll Pops that she would drop off at the door for my birthday. Well, I liked them that one year, but after that, I didn't like them that much anymore, you know? And so that wasn't necessarily up to date. She knew something about me at that one time. But to have an intimate relationship, intimate is up to date. It's current. You know the person today. You talked with them this morning. You have this knowledge of who they are. And you have been in their presence long enough that you know how they think. And you know what they like and what they don't like. Almost intrinsically, you know. Nobody has to tell me certain things, or, you know, if they try to tell me that Dan likes certain things, I say, no, this is what Dan likes. He doesn't like chocolate that much. Butter. He loves butter. You buy him a pack of it, and he would be happy. No, anything that has butter, like caramel, butterscotch, anything buttery, right? And so, yeah, he'll put a whole stick of butter in something, a pot of soup or whatever, you know, he loves butter. But that's something about him, but to really know him and how he thinks, this is what God's talking about. We have this kind of knowledge with God. And it's such a far cry from religion. Remember the Pharisees, the Sadducees? They knew a lot about the scriptures. They had the first five books of the Bible memorized because they had to learn it as a child in school when they were growing up. First five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They knew it word by word. They knew a lot about God. They knew his commandments. But when Jesus showed up on the scene, they hated him and killed him. They didn't know him. They didn't know him. Right? They knew things about him, but they didn't know him. So this is life. And grace and peace is going to be multiplied to us through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The more we get to know him in a relationship way, the more we're going to have grace multiplied to us. Peace, deep down peace. You know, peace isn't something on the outside. It's something way down deep inside you. Joy is something way down deep inside you. I might have told you this last week, I don't know, but the Lord was telling me, prompting something in my mind, in my heart. It was something just stirring around in my heart. And one day I was standing in the kitchen and there's that thought again. And I said, Lord, I think that's you trying to tell me something. So I pulled up my memos on my phone and I wrote it down. And when I wrote it down, he gave me like a full explanation of it. I mean, I just had one little thought. But when I went to write it down, the Holy Spirit poured it out and I just wrote it all out. And this is the gist of what he told me. He said, joy is not just laughter. Because I guess I kind of thought of joy as when you're laughing. But it's not. You can have joy without the expression of it, without the laughter of it, or smiling. You can have joy. It's way down deep inside your spirit. It's not a surface thing. You can have joy down inside you even when all hell breaks loose around you. Everything is crazy. The storm is blowing. Everything is going everywhere. But down deep inside, you have this joy. And the Lord said that joy is like a satisfaction. You have this, you're satisfied way down deep inside. That comes from knowing God. You know, no matter all this stuff on the outside, that doesn't mean anything. I know God. I know Him. And I have this deep satisfaction inside. Amen. So it's all about relationship. Beware. I have like a whole bunch of notes here, but we're really trusting the Holy Ghost to help us here. But it's all about relationship. It's not about working and doing all kinds of things like that for God. And it's not just who I am as a person, but it's whose I am. W-H-O-S-E. Whose I am. I belong to God. I am God's. I belong to Him. Part of the family. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named after God. The whole family. We are family. This, let me see how I can express it to you. We are family. That means we have a relationship with God. Relationship, the definition of relationship. You ready? A connection between persons. That's simple. But then it goes on and says, by blood or by marriage. You have a relative, right? You have a relationship. Either by blood or birth or by marriage. You're either married into it, into the relationship, or you're birthed into a family. And guess what? We have both. We've been born again. So by blood, we are in the family of God. And we've been married to Jesus. We are the bride of Christ. We are in covenant with Him. Wow. Both ways, we are connected. Pastor's favorite verse, one of his favorites, is 1 John 3:9 in the Amplified. You think you can pull that one up there, Dylan? 1 John 3:9 in the Amplified. No one born, begotten of God, deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin. For God's nature abides in him. His principle of life, the divine sperm, remains permanently within him. And he cannot practice sinning because he is born, begotten of God. We have a brand new nature inside of us. We have God's nature in us. No longer the nature of the world. We are born of God. This is the divine sperm. When the sperm and the egg come together and create a child, you cannot separate them anymore. It's permanently within the child, right? And the child has all the characteristics of the parents. Not only from just hanging around the parents, not just learned behaviors, but intrinsic ones too, that they were born with through their genes. And we have the nature of God. That's mind-blowing, don't you think? We have the life of God, the nature of God flowing through us just like sap through a tree. It flows in our veins. It's in our blood. It's who we are. We are part of the family. Okay, you have to think about that for a while. It's hard to imagine. It's hard to believe. We are part of the family. When God has a family picture, we're in the picture, right? We're part of the picture. And we're also connected through marriage. So God is our father and Jesus is our husband. And we are connected. There's a relationship. I think the reason that the Holy Spirit wanted to bring this out is because there is security in that. Knowing that you are related to God, You have his spirit in you, his veins, his divine nature inside you, DNA, divine nature attitude, right? Inside you. And because you have that, there's a security. He's not going to just cast you away because you messed up. Even if you have become a total mess, he's not going to kick you out of the family. He's going to work with you. He's going to help you. He's going to deal with you. He's going to send people across your path to talk to you. He's going to, you know what I'm saying? He's going to get counsel for you. He's going to get send you to rehab. He's going to do whatever it takes to get you so you're not quite the mess that you are. He works with you. And I remember I've said this before. I told Rachel one time when she was being really bad. She's 8 years old now, so she's not quite as bad as she was when she was three. Sometimes, you know, she tests all the boundaries. She's getting a little better now. But there were times when she was so bad, and I'd spank her a dozen times in one day. And she'd go through seasons, you know. It wasn't every day, but for a season, she'd be spanked a lot. And I remember it must have been the Holy Ghost that prompted me to say it. I said, "Rachel, I love you always, even when you're bad." And I said, "And I love you more when you're bad, because you need my love more at that moment. When you're bad, you need my love." So we had this little dog named Petra, and he would be bad sometimes too. And I felt like kicking the dog, you know. But Dan's mother, she had lots of dogs too, and she told me what the dog really needs is some security. He needs loving on. Like, I don't want to love on him. I want to kick him. I don't want to love on him. But it's true. When you need it, when you are at your worst is when you need his loving the most. And it builds that security in you. You feel safe. You feel loved. You're in his arms. When we came back from Slovenia this trip, it was a little rough transitioning back into Florida and back into life. And Rachel went immediately back to school because we were homeschooled for 2 months. And then I enrolled her right back into school. And she's trying to adjust. And then life is different there than it is here. So we're trying to adjust back. And then all of a sudden, I realized she had this rebellious streak in her. And I'm having to deal with that. And I had to spank her. You know, you can't just let rebellion go. It gets worse. You got to put an end to it. You got to let her know what's right. But man, I really had to hug her and spend time playing Barbies with her. And you know what I mean? And give her that security. So I want you to know, I'm not the only one that feels like that. God is the one who created that kind of love, that unconditional love, that he loves you when you're at your worst. When you are a mess, he loves you even more because you need his love more at that time. And he's a good father. Amen. And when we came back from Slovenia, the movie The Shack was still in the theaters. We were kind of disappointed when we left because we knew it was going to be in the theaters in March and we were going to be in Slovenia. We wanted to see it because we'd read the book. And it was tremendous. I know there's lots of controversy on that movie. If you could pick it apart doctrinally, but the heart of the movie was what we saw, and it helped so much. So we come back from the trip, and we go see the movie while Rachel's in school, and it was pretty emotional. Has anybody seen the movie? So it's got a lot of emotions to it, but at the end of the movie, you're left with this feeling of, I am in relationship with God, and I'm okay. And he likes me. And let's just go walk and talk together. And it relieves you from all the pressure of that work. Here's a good thing to think about. Relationship takes the load off. Because we get burdened. We get weighed down. We got stuff to do. Places to go. People to see. Things for the kingdom that are very important. But God says, no, relationship is more important. And he is okay with you skipping your Bible reading time to go and talk to him. Okay, maybe none of you ever think that way. Are you gasping? No, he is okay with you, you know, not doing such disciplines that we have and just being with him. Just lay on the floor and talk to God, or lay at the beach and talk to God, whatever you do, you know. Walk, go for a walk. I like to ride my bike with God. He has a bike too, you know. He rides with me. Okay, just kidding, just kidding. So you think about the true character of God. He is not at all like we imagined him to be. When Jesus came on the scene, he was an offense to people. He's like, this is, you remember how he said when John the Baptist came, he came, he was more strict to the religious parts of it, you know, and he came fasting and all these things. And Jesus, he came and he was eating and drinking, and they called him a glutton and a wine bibber and a friend of sinners. He was totally opposite of what you would think when Jesus would, when God would show up on the scene. But do you know that Jesus is the true image of God? Jesus will stoop down and look in the eyes of a little child. You know, he has feelings, he has emotions. He laughs. God forbid that somebody would laugh, but he laughs, you know what I mean? And we have so many stipulations on ourselves. We put so many burdens on ourselves, so many disciplines that we're trying so hard to please God. When you get into that religious funk, which I call it a funk, because it's not the true self. It's not the way a Christian should be. But you get into this religious funk or this work syndrome, which people have called it, and you just feel like you can't do enough. You have such an insecurity inside. You feel like, have I been good enough yet? Have I done enough? Is God pleased with me yet? I haven't prayed enough. I haven't witnessed to everybody. I haven't done this and that. And we have all these rules even beyond what's in the Bible. You know, we have things that we think, you know, maybe we should, we put silly things on ourselves. Like maybe we're not supposed to be sick. So, man, you're really terrible if you have sickness on you. No, we got the healer on the inside of us. Don't worry about it. He's inside. His healing power is in you. You don't have to be afraid. You know, but we have all these pressures. You're not allowed to skip church. You should never do that. Oh, that would be the ultimate sin, right? No. I mean, okay, there's reasons. How about this one? You must not be religious. For goodness sake, how are you going to stop doing that? You know, sometimes it's just our surroundings, you know. Sometimes we think we have to have everything perfectly in order. How unrealistic, right? We have to witness to everyone we meet. Oh, the pressure. But the Lord said in Matthew 11:28, he said, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. You have all this, you're tired, you've been working, you're heavy burdened. You labor, you're working and working for God. He said, come to me and I will cause you to rest. Such a relief. The Lord told me several years ago, you know how in the Bible it says I am, and he has all these different things after I am. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am this. I am that. And, you know, there's in, like, I am your shepherd. I am the God, you know. You know what I'm saying. You have all these things that God is. One time the Lord said to me, I am your vacation. I mean, you can go on a vacation and come back and you're still heavy laden and working and just, you didn't get out from that pressure. You maybe got out from the pressure for a few minutes, like people that go get a massage or something. And for those few minutes, they're okay. And then they go back into the pressure again. But Jesus said, come to me and I will rest you. I will cause you to rest. I will remove that heaviness. Relationship takes the load off. It's not all resting on your shoulders, whether the world is won for Jesus or not, whether, you know, everything in your family is right. God is the Holy Spirit, and He's inside you. He, if you just follow Him, He will guide you. He will show you what to do. He's strategic. He will say, now, this is a good thing to say to this person right now. It'll help connect you with that person. Like one time we were at church and there was a girl that came to church that hardly ever comes. And she just, you know, one of those way out there backslidden and hardly feels like they're worthy of God kind of thing. The Lord prompted me to give her $20 because I know she didn't have much money either. I handed her $20. I said, just go get something to eat for lunch or just whatever you want to use it for. Just be blessed. And after that, she was my friend for a long time. And there was a relationship built there. And the Lord said, use your money to build relationships with people. But the relationship is what God's looking for. And He will ease. Let's just keep on going here. It's amplified here. The Lord says, I will cause you to rest. I will be your vacation. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Keep going, Dylan. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart. And you'll find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. Keep going, one more. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. Praise God. So the way out of the religious funk is to get back into relationship. Whenever I was raised religious, I mean, other people, they had their other, maybe they were heathens. I was raised in church. And I was raised to be churchy and religious. And when I was a kid, I looked down my nose at everybody. That they were all sinners except me, you know, kind of thing. And, so I understand the spirit of religion. The Lord has brought me so far and delivered me from that. I think being religious is a worse bondage than any other bondage out there. I'd rather be addicted to drugs than religious. Because when you're religious, you think that you're good and you're far away from God. You know, really, think about this. The word religion is a call to bondage. You're putting yourself under certain regiments and disciplines in order to try to please God. And you feel like you're not close to God. And here's the more frustrating part of it. The harder you try, the farther away from God you get. Oh, it's so frustrating because you're trying so hard to be good and to do what's right and to get close to God. And you're just way far away. You never feel satisfied inside that you're close to God. You know, because it has to come by faith, right? The just will live by faith. We come by faith. It's not by our actions, not by our what we do. It's by the blood of Jesus only. We are right with God by the blood of Jesus only, right? Not the blood of Jesus plus what I do. The blood of Jesus only is what gives us a right relationship with God. We have to come to God that way and say, God, here I am. You know who I am. You know what's in me. You know my faults and failures, and you don't even seem to care about them. But He's in me. God's in me. You get that revelation. He's inside you. It'll cause you to go really far. So one day, through all these years, that sometimes I'll get into that religious funk. And I know it's weird to say it that way, but it's the truth. And sometimes I'll say, man, I really need to buckle down and improve my prayer life, which sounds so religious. But so I'd have this heaviness on me. And Dan would say things like, are you okay? Are you all right? I remember one time I went to work when I was in Bible school. I had just listened to a message from somebody who was super religious, and I got that religious junk on me. And I went to work, and my boss said, "Are you okay today?" It's amazing how awful it is. That it changes your whole demeanor. And so if that stuff gets on me, Rachel will say, "I want my mommy." And I don't know. So I have to say, okay, forget trying to have the perfect prayer life. I'm going to just talk to God. Imagine that, you know. Okay, maybe I'm the only one that feels that way, but maybe not. Maybe there are lots of people that feel that way, and it's hard to express it. But one day, I was in that religious pressure, and I was at church, and the whole Spirit of God was moving. We were in worship, and the Lord was talking to my heart, and I was thinking about my prayer time, and I always feel like I know things about prayer. I ought to be praying more. Has anybody ever felt like you should be praying more? Probably every one of us. You know, no one feels like they pray enough. But so I was feeling like, man, I need to just be more disciplined and just pray more. And I was thinking about that during this time. And I was in the presence of God. And the Lord said to my heart really clearly, He said that, pointing to my prayer closet kind of thing, "That is not me. I am me." Okay, that made a lot of sense to me, because it's not the prayer thing or the duty or the studying of the Bible or the, you know, those things. It's God Himself. He's a person. He's my best friend. I'm related. I'm His child. I don't even have to try to impress Him. I'm His child. I can be as rotten as I want to be, and I'm still His child. You know, He can't really kick me out of the family, and He said He wouldn't. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." So, you know how every family has that one person in it that's kind of crazy?
Uncle Si.
Uncle Si, yeah. Everybody, every family's got one. You're probably thinking of it right now, you know? And the people that say, "No, my family doesn't have a weird person in it," you're probably the one. Okay, just kidding. But they're still part of the family, right? They're still part of the family. Yep, they're still part of the family. And we love them anyways. We're part of the family. So if we're one of the ones that we don't feel like we're right, and nothing is going right, and we're just the black sheep or something, we're still part of the family, because we have God's blood flowing through our veins. Amen. All right, well, I guess I could probably keep on going, but I feel like I expressed my heart there. Let me share one thing here before we go. Once upon a time, Jesus was sick. His disciples rushed Him to the hospital, and He was admitted. Why are you shocked? Your first reaction to my statement is always my first reaction each time I hear that you are sick or admitted to the hospital. Jesus Christ was never sick, right? He was a master over the elements of this world. In many occasions, He spoke to sickness, disease, and infirmity, and they all ceased right in front of Him. If Jesus was never sick, how come many Christians are always so sick and broken by diseases and infirmities? The Spirit of God eloquently articulated it in 1 John 4:17 that as He is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. You have to put it in the King James, probably. Yeah. As He is, so are we in this world. As He is, so are we in this world. We have His nature. We have Him inside of us. There's something about sickness that is evil. The roots of it is from the devil. The devil's name is Destroyer. He's the Destroyer. And He created sickness. It comes from the devil, not from God. We already have discussed things like that. It's evil, and it should never be a part of us. Even if it tries to get on us, we say, no way. No, I will never have a work of the devil in me. God, that's not the will of God for me to have a work of the devil in me. Let me keep reading here. I'm just reading an article from someone. I used to be a victim of sickness and disease until the day I entered a Christ Embassy church for the first time in Benin. Anybody know where Benin is? Okay, we'll have to look it up later. On that Sunday, the pastor who was in charge shared a top secret with the brethren, and I can still remember him saying, the secret has been hidden for ages, and that secret is Christ in you. Wow, Christ in you, the hope of glory. To be sincere, I have never heard anybody preach with so much passion and conviction like this man of God. As I listened, my heartbeat became louder than the heard thunderclap in Benin. While the meeting was still on, I heard the pastor saying, if you're here and you have made up your mind to accept sickness in your life, just stand up and leave, is what he said. But, peradventure, you have decided to stay and listen to me, you will definitely find out that sickness and disease will be uncomfortable to stay in your body. And just the audacity that he would speak, and the confidence, and so full of conviction like that. If you've accepted sickness, you don't want to be in this meeting. But if you're one that's still here, we are eradicating. Is that the right word? We are eradicating sickness. We are on a rampage to get it out. Sickness and disease has no place in the body of Christ, and we will not put up with it. We won't tolerate it, right? Remember, Pastor years ago gave those five letters, O-T-A-P-E, O-tape, he called it. The first one is objection. You object to something strongly, but then after a while, you tolerate it. T is tolerate it. And after a while, maybe you start accepting it. And then, if it goes on, you may even participate in it. And it could lead to enjoyment. It's called being desensitized. Being desensitized. So he used to give the example, like if there was a strip joint in the, a bar with naked ladies and stuff, in the town. At first, everybody would be objecting to it. What do you call it?
A strip club.
Okay. At first, everybody in the town would say, no, that's awful. We are getting out of our town. But then after it stays in the town long enough, you say, oh, you tolerate it. I guess it wasn't easy to get rid of. So, we're just tolerating it right now. And then you just begin to accept it. It's just part of the town. And you could actually go to the point of participating and even enjoying if you get so desensitized. But it's the same way with sickness. We should be staying with the objecting point and never even get to the tolerating point, right? We don't want to be desensitized. We want to be stirred up and say anything that's evil, anything that's not of God should be out of here. No matter if it's sickness or sin or any kind of oppression or anything like that, right? Any kind of strife. Strife is evil. Friction and disharmony with each other and fighting and bickering and arguing. All that stuff. Anything that is evil, we should just stay right on top of it and say no and object to it. And you're going to have to sometimes be persistent. And keep your foot down. I said no. All right. They're not getting the picture. Let me get louder. And get, and be even more objecting to it. Let me see. Okay, let me read this part to you. This must have come from Africa, I think. It says the guy that wrote this article. It says this article was cooked by Jeffrey Kuti Haromi. Cooked. Whatever that means. So I think it came from Africa. So he said, since I got a hold of that revelation, he got a hold of it, and he says, I was completely turned into a different man when I decided that sickness was taboo. He said, up until today, which was 8 years, I am neither falling sick nor taking any drugs. Even malaria, who used to run around me like king, suddenly lost my address. Brothers and sisters, it's important we understand how the devil works. If he can succeed in giving you pimples and you allow it to stay, his next plan is to give you a big boil. If he afflicts you with a wound and you are busy addressing it with drugs, his next plan is to leave you with cancer. So he just goes on. So we're not supposed to tolerate anything, right? We have authority that the Lord has given us. And let me say this too, this part of it. It says, today many Christians have come to accept malaria. I guess in the United States we could say colds and flus and things like that, as a natural way of life. Some will even say, as long as it won't kill me or as long as I can treat it with some drugs, and it's okay. Some even stay away from church because of sickness. For them, they think it is normal to be sick. Well, right now, we're making the decision that is no longer normal to be sick. What's normal for us is to be completely well. And it's something that, remember what Jesus said, it's a finished work. It's finished. It's done. It's complete. He took our infirmities. He bore our sicknesses and took them away. What's normal for a Christian is to be sickness-free, disease-free. And don't stop, even if that's not the case with you right now. Don't stop. Don't quit until the full will of God is happening in your life, right? Don't give up just because you don't see it right now. Hang in there. Don't give up because we know what the will of God is. We know what his word says. So even if you're not seeing it right now, don't give up. You're on the right road. You're on the right track. Just keep on being persistent with it. Amen. I feel like I gave you two totally separate messages, but that's what God wanted tonight. Yeah. So there you go. We got it. Does anybody need some prayer tonight? Let's pray if anybody needs anything tonight. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss. And I guess if anybody needs something, we'll be right here for you. Come pray for you. Whatever you need. All right. Be blessed. Good night.